Welcome to Girl Video Gamers Teach You the Facts About Successful Marketing. My name's Joel Greenberg of the Electric Sheep Company, formerly of GSD&M. Welcome, and I know you're not here to listen to a balding middle-aged guy with a bad voice talk, so I'm going to go through introductions really quickly, and we'll carry on a conversation with some fantastic marketers that I've had the pleasure of working with over the past year or so. First, a disclaimer, I am not a girl gamer.
He's a girl.
But next to me, they are. I'd like to introduce to you Amber Dalton. She's Athena Twin PMS. She's co-founder and leader of the PMS Clan, and she's a great marketer, as you'll find out. Next to her is Morgan Romine. She's Roulette Frag Doll. She's a founder of the Frag Dolls, and she is community and online marketing manager at Ubisoft in San Francisco. And next to Morgan is Amy Brady. She's Athena PMS, and she's also Valkyrie Frag Doll. So she crosses the boundary of both the groups that we're talking with today.
I ride both waves.
And she's co-founder of the PMS Clan as well. We were talking in the green room, and we're thinking that this is going to be more of like an open discussion, and the slides are kind of like a structure for the discussion. So we're going to talk, and if you have questions, we'll definitely have questions towards the end, but if you have questions now, I mean, go to the mic and we'll talk. Let me give you a bit of an overview. Hopefully this will help get the most out of what we're all talking about. First of all, the reason that I wanted to put this together is because these women, I think, are really great marketers, and it's not often we hear them talk about marketing. And they've got really interesting ideas that don't have to do with buying television or print or necessarily radio. So they're immersed in new marketing. They're really passionate about what they do, and I think that you'll see in the shows. Because they've approached this from a completely blank slate initially, they're not beholden to traditional marketing history, so they come up with really innovative ideas that I think is really cool. And because gaming is just participatory culture anyway, they come up with participatory marketing ideas, which is really helpful as our culture is becoming more and more like the gaming culture or has more attributes like the gaming culture in general. So here are some things that I think you may find helpful to listen for. First of all, there's an equation going through all of this that I call, you know, participation plus conversation, all that multiplied by credibility equals engagement, which is kind of the undefined holy grail right now in marketing. Instead of just reach frequency, how do we measure engagement? And I hope what you'll find is there are a lot of ideas that they talk about engaging their audience and their community members. But also, I hope you walk away with an understanding how to think that way as well, so you can come up with creative solutions for yourselves. One of the things in talking with them that I've come up with is this, or that they've taught me, is this realization that there are word of mouth mechanisms that are fairly common that you may be, if you can identify, you may be able to exploit for your own marketing purposes. And the one is in talking with Amy and Amber about like how they get, you know, how women get involved in video games is how, you know, a lot of times women are introduced to video games by guys, you know, friends, boyfriends, husbands. And so there's a word-of-mouth mechanism there. Another word-of-mouth mechanism that this is purely anecdotal, but I think if someone was to do research, they'd see it. 40 women, like 40 or above, who, you know, most people think wouldn't be into games, if they're talking with another woman who's playing a DS, invariably they're like, oh, man, I want a DS. So there's a word-of-mouth mechanism there that could be useful in a word-of-mouth marketing campaign. So again, some of the things that I think...
Joel, I want to interrupt you already. So I just want to show you how cute this is. And there's so many women who are just like, oh, my God, that goes with everything that I own. Or like,
and
you
it's
get
pink.
A blue one or you can get a red one. And so, you know, you can accessorize. And so once you hit one girl and like a pod of girlfriends, they'll get a DS and everybody wants a DS after that.
Okay, who's intrigued by that? Who wasn't before? See, it's working. I hope you walk away with this with ideas, and the idea that, you know, you can do this. Like, this isn't rocket science, and it doesn't take a TV budget, so you can do this.
All right. Okay, well then, I will get started. All right, so as we've discussed, we have Fragdoll representatives and PMS clan representatives, and we're very much like sister clans. These two are sisters, for one thing, so that helps. But we go to a lot of the same tournaments, and we have a lot of things in common, but we'll also talk about the ways that we're different, and we'll go into how we were founded and the structures of the different groups and all that kind of stuff. I'm just going to fly through this beginning part. Okay, so let me give you a little bit of my background. I am an online marketing manager / community manager for Ubisoft, and that's actually how I got into all of this. I graduated from school after playing lots of video games, MMOs in particular, and met enough people that I got a job eventually working for Ubisoft. As I was, I think within the first couple months of me working there, we did some experimental things about trying to promote a particular tournament, a Ghost Recon tournament, by playing online. And one of the observations is that I was one of the experimental team that went and played online. The observation was that I would tell them this, I'd say I was an official Ubisoft representative, and I just wanted to let you guys know that there's this tournament and there's a TV that nobody signed up to win yet, so you totally should sign up. So they'd be like, yeah, okay, you're a girl. Like, this was this shocking thing, because you have the voice chat, of course, so they can tell. And that was then, from then on, the topic of conversation. And so I came back with this anecdote of how it's kind of funny that when I'm playing online, I get that comment a lot. And I actually found in that game they were particularly nice to me, which was good. Maybe it was the Ubisoft representative thing, I don't know. But from that, we crafted this idea, well, what if we get a bunch of girls who really play games and really can talk to our audience and have them help us promote the games that are coming out, the events that we have going on, and just be able to talk to them on a peer-to-peer level. And from there came the Fragdolls, and we recruited six girls, including myself. That was in August of 2004, so this summer we will have been together for 3 years. So what I'm going to be talking about is how I was able to use my day job and my experience as an online marketer to help to build on the Fragdolls. But as we're all talking about the same audience here, though. We're all targeting these gamers and the millennials, these people who are not sitting in front of their TVs anymore. They're online, they're chatting with their friends, they're playing games online, they're visiting websites, and that's really what they're doing and why they're a little bit more difficult to access than what, you know, traditional marketers are used to. So some of the things that we've found is that gamers are really cynical about marketing, so if it's just straight-up marketing, they will totally ignore it. And I was trained that way by all my friends, so I can relate to that. We found the successful themes through all of this is that if you have marketing that's engaging, if you have marketing that's interactive, if you have marketing that has inherent value, and I'll talk about that a lot, inherent value meaning something that without the marketing, without any of the product association, is still cool and people like will get something from it, whether they're making friends or they're entertained or they get information, that's really key. So we're all going to be talking about how we've been able to build our groups as this type of having this inherent value that then partners can take advantage of, because then, you know, we're talking about the products anyway. So if a sponsor comes in and is saying like, what about using our headsets? We're like, okay, cool. Are your headsets good? Good. Then we'll tell them how they are good. You know, and so then you're talking peer to peer. There you go, peer to peer. So we are gamers, and therefore gamers listen to us. We are part of this millennial group, so millennials will listen to us, and that's kind of the basis of our conversation with this target audience, is that we know what they like because we are them, and so we know what will work. We know what language to use, and we can really explain it in terms that this audience will listen to. So that's really where the Fragdolls came from, and that's a lot of the strength in PMS. But I'll let them get into that. So some of the tools that we use, we obviously have a website. I actually brought it up somewhere. Let me see here if I can find it for you. We have a website which has blogs, and I just broke everything. Okay, never mind. I won't get into it. I'll break things. My technological skills should be better than this, obviously. So we have our website, which is the source for lots of information. We write blogs that not only include our opinion as gamers, as like what the gaming experience is like, but we also will talk about games that we've played recently, whether and it's not just limited to Ubisoft games. So we'll say like, So we were playing Ghost Recon this weekend, and this happened. It's funny, or isn't that weird? Or we went to this event, and we saw something that we thought was not really cool, and how it's reflective of things that are going on in the pro gaming circuit, for example. So these are things that are really relevant to what this audience is interested, obviously, because we're interested in it. So there's got to be some of our friends who will be interested as well. We also go online, as with my first story of how Fragdoll started. We play with people constantly online, and so we're able to. It's an ongoing conversation with this community. And when we have a new sponsor come on board, so we were sponsored by Comcast now, so that's just part of the conversation now. It's something that's going on in our lives, and so it really does naturally come up. That credibility is really crucial, though. It's really important that we are true to what we believe, because otherwise then it becomes that marketing that they will completely be cynical about. So it has to be real. Again, these two will be talking a lot about building that credibility and how important, how crucial that is.
And that's definitely true of what they do. They know that because with my sister on their team, they have to deal with a very vocal voice against a lot of things.
And what you consider an activist.
Yeah,
I'm hoping that someday we'll have a gamer rights type of group.
It's awesome that Ubisoft allows that open voice.
Yeah, I'm surprised they put up with me too.
we really do let her write whatever she wants. I mean, because that's the deal, you know. That's her real blog. That's what she really believes. And if we tried to censor it, then it would really devalue what we're doing.
I create explosions on our forums and in other forums by stating my opinions.
She creates volatile content, but sometimes that's the best kind of thing.
But,
you know,
like what?
She stands up for the rights of gamers everywhere and for purity.
There was per se this one time. I'll use the one that caused the big ruckus. The
World
SVG, probably.
Yeah.
We're women,
website,
you know. We, and I'll be talking about this. You know, the power, the boob factor. You know, it's true. One of the reasons why us female gamers get a lot of attention is simply one of the reasons is that we're girls. Do we play that card? We do, because we have a mission, and I'll be talking about that when I start my presentation. But there's a mission to me, at least, and I know a lot of other women gamers out there. But there was a Miss WSVG contest where they were holding a beauty contest that was not related to anything to do with gaming. No gaming test knowledge, no playing the game. And they were going to present her as Miss WSVG, which means Miss World Series of Video Games. So I threw a little boycott blog up, you know, that we, us female gamers, you know, at least shouldn't participate because it wasn't relevant to the gaming community. That, of course, I got picked up by other sites, and it caused this huge thing. Well, you're frag dolls. You're getting paid, you know. You use your, you know, you don't see me strutting around or using my looks, you know, per se. Don't think I'm the most attractive frag doll. I'm a 31-year-old married woman with a degree. I'm not the typical that would enter into a beauty contest. That being said, is there anything wrong with the girls that would? No. Go do it. Go have fun. It was just that this would be a representation of the female gaming community, and it could possibly not be a female gamer. That was my only issue. So I wrote a big blog, caused a big explosion, and later on down the road, they never did it again.
We learned that boycott is one of those words that you have to be really careful about.
Yeah, I got in trouble for that one.
Actually, didn't do a boycott. We ended up, Fragdolls and PMS, hosting the Mr. WSVG.
In the end, we did the Mr. WSVG.
At the venue, which he allowed us, and the guys went on and strutted their stuff on stage, just like the girls. And I think ours was more fun.
It was equality than at that point. But
ours was fun with boys and tiaras and stuff.
The point being, though, that you know, our opinion is a valid gamer opinion as much as any others, and so that's, and we're able to use that as a valid marketing tool. One more thing to say about credibility, and I was actually really happy that the Austin Chronicle article about this particular event really captured this really well, is that we don't promote things that we don't actually believe in. So like, we have 7 girls on the team. Ubisoft puts out a lot of games. Sometimes there's one that somebody might not like. And it's just the reality. And if that's the case, then the girl isn't required to promote it, because we want it to be real. You really want to be able to say, like, yeah, I like this game. I've been playing this game. It's cool. As opposed to the forced smile, like, yeah. Because you can see through that. You know, that's not real. It's not authentic. So it doesn't work for us, and it doesn't work for our target audience. We've also found that through my experience with online marketing, with the games that we promote, we put together these online marketing campaigns and have our various tactics for things, how we're going to raise the buzz and raise the awareness about our products. So we've learned that viral content is really good. I mean, everybody knows about YouTube. And everybody knows that YouTube is a great way to get video content around, and everybody sends that through their IMs and through their emails. So one thing that we've done is we've created our own videos that we find entertaining and that have either they're funny or they have exclusive information that Ubisoft lets us go to the dev studios and we get to interview the developers, and it's usually a very different take than if like the journalists are trying to get specific details about the tech side of things. We want to know about the experience and the lifestyle, about what it's like to be a developer, and get to find that kind of stuff that you can't find elsewhere. So this type of thing gets passed around. We obviously are talking about our Ubisoft games, and our Plantronics headsets might come up as well. So it's, I mean, just they fall into conversation. This is a way that people watching it will be getting information, they'll be entertained, and the product association is very easy, and so it's a very successful marketing tool for that reason. You often, I pointed out that we've gotten blog coverage, so you know, if bloggers are finding it interesting, then that's always a beneficial thing. Community building is something that Amy's going to talk about a lot, and Amber's going to talk about it a lot also. But really the foundation of the stuff that we do is very, very heavily community-based. But we use our forums to build our community. We really try to recognize the people in our community because they're our friends, ultimately. We go to these events and we hang out with all of these people. And so when we're talking about products, we're recommending it to a group of our friends who often are the influencers. Those are the key people who then can go to their friends who don't hang out on game forums necessarily but will still buy a game every once in a while. So if we have somebody who's in our community and like, yeah, the Fried Dolls are playing Splinter Cell and they said it's awesome, I tried it out and it actually is really awesome, so they reach, you know, those 10 other people that could potentially buy the game that we wouldn't be able to reach otherwise. And so we are providing for them all that entertainment, the information, but also the community ties, so they're friends with each other, they have reason to come back, and so it's really providing something that has this inherent value to them as being participating as part of this community. You have people to play with all the time. You know, there's so many things that you can get out of being part of this community. Our MySpace is a tool that we've actually just started using, like really actually trying to maximize it lately. Actually, Joel, could you bring up our MySpace? Oh. It's myspace.com/fragdolls.
Okay.
Well, I'll switch over to him. I got it. There you go. And we passed the 10,000 friends mark a couple weeks ago, which we were very proud about. And it's huge. We're actually right now we're trying to. I've been working with some of the people at Ubisoft, our online advertising guy, to put an ad value on this because we have access to these 10,000 people. We can post comments on their comment list. We can post bulletins to let them know. Like for example, we posted something about the South by Southwest thing. We said we're going to be at South by Southwest. We're doing this panel. It's pretty cool. So that means that 10,000 people, if they're checking their bulletins, there's a possibility that they would know about it, which is pretty rad. If you scroll down a little bit more, so we have this Ghost Recon weekend thing that we're doing. There's some of our videos. If you scroll down more, you'll see our awesome 10,000 friends that we're very proud of. So this is a great marketing tool, and we have connections to these people. This is our community, and we're still finding new ways to be able to make this a cool place for people to come. And we actually took a survey on our Fragdolls website. There is a survey that's been ongoing. And of the respondents, we've asked them how they found out about the Fragdolls. And 30% of them have said it's the MySpace page, which is astounding. I mean, you know, obviously not everybody who's going on there is answering the survey, but that's pretty significant, really caught our attention. Okay, I'm going to switch back to mine now. Okay, so now we will go into Amber, if you want to take over.
One thing that I wanted to start off with is a little bit about PMS Clan in general. When we first formed, it was almost 5 years ago, my sister and I met another girl online for the first time after playing Halo on GameSpy for over a year, and to our knowledge, never meeting another female. And that was simply unique for us. And out of that uniqueness and that just wonderful feeling of finding someone that was similar to you, I guess, we were like, let's start a female clan to kick some guys' butts. And we did. And now, close to 5 years later, we went down in a road we never thought we would have went down. Marketing wasn't in our vocabulary then. We didn't know what exactly we were doing. It was just a passion and a love. And as our members came in, just a feeling of community and family. And gave us a very deep sense of belonging in a place that we really didn't feel we belonged before. So,
I'm sorry.
He's on my MySpace. Speaking of MySpace. But I guess about a year into it, when we started doing really well on online ladders, that's when we realized there was something here that we might be able to service hundreds of females with, which we didn't realize was a possibility. So we basically realized that we did need to start doing our things in a little bit different way to help promote ourselves. And then, therefore, I myself was trained in PR and marketing. That's what my degree was in. I was a minor in general business. My sister was human resources. And today you have Pandora's Mighty Soldiers, or PMS Clan.
Organizational development, thanks.
There you go. HR is HR to me, but hey. Anyways, we went beyond the fan club approach with PMS Clan. We weren't just making a team or a set group. Which actually created some very hard things for us to manage down the road, because the more members you have, the harder it is to manage, instead of doing just a team or a couple teams or that type of nature. But what that did was it created active engagement for our members, and those members who were actively engaged and felt like they were contributing to a part, so beyond a fan club, but as an actual member, they were taking that back into the community. And actually, we found out guys were our number one recruiters. If they would find another female who on the game, you're a girl, oh my God, have you heard about PMS Clan? You got to join them, they're the best. And women just kept coming and coming, and girls, our youngest now is 9 and our oldest is 58. And we have a very diverse group of over 500 girls, and honestly, that word of mouth marketing was the thing that really launched us. So being also the first really there on live was a big advantage, and now you see hundreds of female groups out there. They're just, you don't see them. You might not, you probably don't know them, because they aren't marketing and they aren't understanding the value of branding and the value of marketing and how you can utilize that in your male, female, or whatever groups you want to help promote yourselves and get a little bit further in the industry.
I think the most important thing to point out is it's not even just to promote yourself or get a little further. It's about creating these teams and allowing these girls to go attend professional tournaments that they would not be able to attend through the sponsorship dollars that we bring in by marketing, by bringing the media, the types of outlets that we offer our partners, and all the things that we work with, really put girl gaming out there. And we're inherently, our whole focus, or at least mine is, like I said, we all have different reasons, we all have different purposes. But for me, it's about growing this industry, growing the female gamers, growing the technology field to introduce more and more females to it. Because if they were still playing video games about the age of 12 where they start getting turned off, they would be in those tech fields. We wouldn't have the issues we do being a minority. So
we realized basically we had three types of customers that we needed to take into consideration with any kind of activities that we were going into. The first was our members. You know, our members are our number one priority. They are why we are here and who we are here to service. But of course, we wouldn't be able to service our members without our sponsors and our partners providing the funding. And then in order to do that and get our sponsors and our partners happy, we had to still make sure we were maintaining our external customers, which is our outside community, which we do all kinds of events to keep them involved with. We have monthly events called Girls Night In, where people are invited it's a casual game night. We have a casual division now in PMS. 5 years later, who would have thought? We were all about competition before, but now we have a casual division to help service our casual members. Another big thing is we created the H2O clan. H2O clan is our brother clan. It is a male division created by us because we also had so many valuable males that were being a contributing part of our organization and supporting us and needed not to be ignored. Now,
also for marketing, we did not merge the groups because we do know the value of marketing and that a niche of being a female gamer team is a very valuable market that we could not ignore. However, we wanted to make sure we had a home for our men in our gaming lives, our best friends, our mentors. One of the reasons why we are the best at what we do today is simply because we have those women. I mean, those men training us in pros. And then the last thing we do is with active engagement. When we realized you had 500 members that were blogging on forums, going and sending messages on MySpace, their PMS Mary Jane, PMS Tarts in the audience today. I mean, PMS whoever is sitting there with their MySpace or in forums, and they're it's basically free marketing for the group itself, PMS Clan. So that is a very valuable source that we did. Go ahead and go to the next page. Thank you. And the other thing that we realized that needed a very intense focus was to recognize and promote the value of strong partners. Strong partners is very important for any organization that wants to extend marketing outreach. It increases the exposure of your brands by doing awareness and outreach to communities outside of your own and into theirs. One example, if you can click on the Xbox page, is our partnership that we did with Microsoft, where we do a monthly event called Girls Night In, and that's actually marketed to the girls that are not in our group to come and play games. And that's Microsoft's attempt to reach the female market. Because there are a lot of guys playing Xbox, and there's a lot of girls too, but that is a demographic where the numbers can have been recognized to be increased. So basically, they'll promote the events that we do on there. So the partner outreach is very, very vital. You can go ahead and go back. I was just kind of showing the little page. You can see the different members that they can play with. Next slide. We also have Gamer Girls Radio, which is three of our girls that will do an internet podcast radio show going on all kinds of different topics. And then the last thing that we do is how do we market for our sponsors? Now, sponsors are different from our partners. They're the ones that actually provide the funding for the teams. And if we don't have the funding for the teams, we're never going to have the girls out there to compete professionally against the guys, which is our mission statement is to provide a fun and competitive environment for women gamers and prove also that we can compete. That's how we do it. Viral media team assignments is one of the biggest things that we do that I think is unique to any gamer or gamer team or clan team out there. When a sponsor steps in, right now we have three major sponsors. They're assigned, depending on the value dollar that they come in on the sponsorship, actual members that are assigned to market their brand. So if they might have a PMS member assigned to Verizon Fios, you would probably see more in the neighborhood of six as they are our title sponsor. But those girls' job is basically to keep the presence of Fios in throughout the communities online in their posts. You won't see them talking about it all the time. We're very cautious. And gamers hate obvious marketing, as most of the online communities do. They don't want to be marketed to. But what you might see is if there's a contest for an Alienware that Fios is putting on, you'll see a post. Hey, did you check out this cool contest? You know, that you can win Alienware. I think that's kind of cool. That's not obvious marketing or in-your-face. So be wary if you're attempting obvious marketing or in-your-face strategies when you are doing it. But that helps give us something. So if you have an online group, you know, especially a clan, I see some potential gamers in here that might be in clans. That's one thing to think about. And then basically we also, one thing that's unique is we give our sponsors the right of first refusal for the following year. Meaning if they stepped in the year before, if they have a competitor that's approaching us the next year, they're going to have the right to outbid over that competitor because we're looking for long-term partners and long-term experiences so that it can help both brands, both the sponsors and our own individual branding, which has helped helped greatly. And then next. And then now we're going to move on to Amy, who's going to talk about community and credibility. But before we did that, there's the Girl Gaming Guides that were on your seats. This is an example of how to do unobvious marketing. We are gamers. We have experience in gaming and online and the consoles and the games themselves. If you read through this, you'll see some of our key partners or Verizon's key partners strategically placed through this piece. check out an Alienware PC. You know, check out Fios Internet. You need that to do, you know, your online connection for number two. I wrote the Girls Gaming Guide. They did their key partner product placement in here. That's a way to do an obvious marketing. It's something to remember if you're trying to get your company or brand exposed.
All right, so I'm going to move on to community and credibility, because to me, and especially with my roles with both Frag Dolls and PMS, when PMS started long ago, I had no technical background whatsoever. I completely went around looking, had no experience really with anything. Bought a template, built the website, just played with hours and taught myself, which is typical for type A personality. So ended up getting that website up, but I ended up, of course, becoming the webmaster. And trust me, it could be a lot better. But being the webmaster, being, you know, an admin on the forums, managing and moderating our community, the fights, the bickering, the debates, the good stuff, the bad stuff, everything that would go on when you have a group of really passionate people who are really have a lot of strong ideals, including myself. So usually when I'm adminning, though, I can kind of reel myself in. I'm a good moderator. I'm just really bad when I'm arguing. So how we market with communities, of course, you know, behind both Frag Dolls and PMS is the wow factor. I kind of touched on it a little bit, just with any word of marketing or word of mouth marketing, that wow factor is going to be something that can help you get over the hill. Our wow factor is what I called the boob factor earlier. It's true, that's one of them. And I said I was going to elaborate a little bit more. But yes, just because we're girls is one of the reasons why we get attention. Is that the one that I care or like? No, it's not. But I do utilize it. I think anyone would take advantage of any anything that they can use to promote something that they believe in, which goes to my second wow factor. We have a wow factor because we have a mission. And it really is, as I said, to promote the growth and development of females, to keep getting females into this industry, into what I call a sport, because it is a sport for me, into these careers. It is my career. I am an employee of Ubisoft. I was in an office 60 hours a week in a suit, and I completely walked away from it, took a pay cut, didn't care. It's my passion. I truly believe in it, and it's something I'm going to fight for till the end, and I'll probably be 80 with a controller or a mouse or a keyboard in my hand. So that's something that is brings people to our communities and, of course, brings value to our partners or to our sponsors, is that we are a minority and we continue to fight for that. So that's some reason why some of the people come in. The other reasons are they just want to hang out with girls, or the other reasons were they just, you know, a big, diverse population of gamers. So you've got a few key factors that help both Frag Dolls and PMS be able to build the communities, which are really what helps our word of mouth, which, of course, in the end ties back to how we're able to attain sponsorship, because we get a lot of media and a lot of press, and that's what it's really all about. We also, how we market with communities is, of course, our forums or other places like our Ventrilo chat rooms, where you can go online and talk with voice communication when I'm playing World of Warcraft, per se. We've got a 100-man server. Everyone's sitting in there on any of the PC games. I'll be in the WoW channel. But that's how we kind of communicate. But we engage them in natural settings that they're comfortable in, and, of course, that's always something that helps us market to them. Ease of discussion and debate. We're all friends. We all have the same common, usually, denominators, same interests, same passions. So those things help. We also have loyalty through personal investment, of course. When you have, you know, 1,000 posts on a forum, you feel like, you know, this is your site, this is your community. When you're, you know, meeting people in real life that you've played games with, you're building those personal investments, and we really do try to like organize all these group events everywhere we go to anybody that's around, because we travel around the nation. So and we also reinforce our brand images however which way we choose. If we want to, of course, you know, I'm not a feminist, but I tend to lean towards the feminist type of issues. If I want to reinforce that as a brand for PMS, I can. Probably for Frag Dolls, you know, I do work for them. I have to be careful of the company.
You still got to go through me for PMS, too, though.
I do what I want when I want.
No, you don't.
She does what she wants with us, too. I don't know what she's...
She tries.
But anyway, if we want to reinforce, like, it's very easy to do, because we create these communities and we market to these communities. They don't even realize it. And we're not intentionally marketing to them. It's just a natural course of marketing that we're marketing to them by building these communities for them.
One more.
Oh, and the test groups. Of course, we offer and have been working with, we had a little Amber and I both work with GSD&M on some consulting basis. And of course, we've offered to them to do, you know, additional, to use our group as a test drive for a product, or they want to get some opinions on our community, which is, you know, a very niche market community, although it's huge. Like, we can offer those types of things, and that helps us in the long run.
And it's a perk for our community, too, that they get to be involved in those, that type of feedback. So, like, with Ubisoft, we will often give, you know, advanced access to games or to betas or that kind of thing. So there's a perk to being a part of our community. And then when they talk about a game, that's something that they can educate us, and then we can educate the developers of, like, you have at least one community here that's concerned about this and this and this. So, you know, it might be something you want to pay attention to.
And one thing that Amy just mentioned on, too, that deserves note was GSD&M's project that they did called Best in Class Partnership Program, where they didn't just hire Amy and I to consult. They actually hired, what was it, like 50 experts from around the industry?
About 20 or so.
20 experts from around the industry, various backgrounds, some in research, some in writing, some in actual gameplay. And they used this focus group to be pulled in when they wanted to work on clients' ad campaigns. I mean, what a smart way to do it. You are not the experts. Your ad people are not the experts. Your chief marketing officers are not the marketing experts. Well, I guess they would in some cases, but maybe not in those fields. So surround yourself with people who know things more than you do, and make sure it's a diverse group.
Well, that's definitely marketing 101.
So how
but
we market to communities, and what I mean to communities is those external communities that aren't already necessarily a part of our own built communities. And of course, Morgan touched on the websites. Our new websites are currently being developed. I finally broke down and said, I can't do this, and we need a more professional, and we're getting bigger. We finally actually inked. We're a corporation now. I don't know why we're not nonprofit. We're trying to figure it all out.
It's very scary.
But that being said, like, our new website's being built, and we're pretty much going after the MySpace group for gamers, kind of like a one-up type thing. There's going to be full blogging, picture uploads, all the things that everyone uses MySpace for, and hopefully we'll build that into our community. And it was a way for us to grow our community without necessarily having to take everyone into the clan, because everyone joins that wants to be part of the clan, and our doors are open always, as long as, you know, you have appropriate behavior and such, because we do moderate that stuff
heavily.
But that being said, we wanted to build a community in a gaming portal. It's going to have a huge arcade featured, other things that will help build our brand and offer more reasons for people to keep visiting our sites, and not necessarily just going straight to our forums, where it's where they're going for discussion. So a lot of content will be available with a full CMS backend. So those are the other steps that we're taking, because we know that in order to market ourselves, that we have to continue to strive and build this community that we're offering. Community writers and news features, that's another way we market to other communities. We have members that are very intelligent, that just go across every board possible, from lawyers to nurses to teachers to moms to daughters to
strippers.
Okay. We have them all.
You name it. We got it.
That being said, we also have a lot of writers, a lot of people in the industry that are press or work for, let's say, Xbox, or write for other online sites. Tom's Hardware, Got Frag. So those are things that are really important to our community, because, you know, they might be writing articles on reviews and whatnot, but they're still carrying the PMS brand. They're writing under their PMS tags, and that's something that we really hold strictly to. We are building a brand, and we're building that brand in order to keep bringing in sponsorship and partnerships so we can continue to promote the growth of females. So it all keeps tiling back into this loop circle. And they provide a real valuable service to us. Gaming conferences and panels, things like this. We do this with, actually, probably, well, this is the second one we've done together. Amber and I have done four. We've done some universities. Not necessarily on marketing, because this really isn't what we were all about. But
no,
this is our first one on marketing.
We're in weird shoes here. We just want to play. Who's got the Xbox ready?
Or the PC. Quit being biased.
I don't play PC. Sorry.
But these types of things are ways that we market and continue to promote, you know, what we're doing, no matter what purpose we have. There's many purposes that people join our communities and want to be a part of us. But
okay, let's talk a little bit about authenticity.
Okay.
Because what you just said really just speaks to authenticity.
So what are the challenges you face when the marketers come to you? Like, who are the ones that understand your value and who are the ones that don't?
Well, there's a lot of jade. Like we said, gamers are jaded. So you will actually find most of the gamers by now, at this point, years down the road, know that we're legitimate gamers. I'm the first when they come challenge me to say, okay, go meet me on your game of your choice so I can kick your ass. That being said, the people outside the gaming community, I think they think it's cool. I don't think that they really doubt our authenticity. It's the gamers that, and those are the only ones we're really worried about.
No.
You're asking about companies?
I'm talking about, yeah, the partners that you work with. Like when people approach you, does everyone understand your value?
I would say that people who approach us get it. So, I mean, they're approaching us because they do get it.
Yeah.
So I think all the companies that we work with understand how successful and how efficient we are as far as a word of mouth tool, because we are the grassroots. It's not just a matter of accessing the grassroots. We are that foundation. We have those communities.
I remember when we did our partnership with Microsoft and someone posted in the Microsoft forums, oh my God, it's such a marketing ploy, Microsoft, you know, doing this, and it's like marketing ploy. We were here at the launch of Xbox Live. We're one of the oldest clans on the entire game, and you're going to call us a marketing ploy? You know, I mean, you just can't do that. We've been around a long time and established our credibility and earned our right. We have placements and top pro events. I mean, so they could say marketing ploy because we have boobs and do the hate if they want, but we hold our head high and go to sleep well every night.
If you have any questions, please step up to the microphone because we are podcasting this.
Is it turned on?
I don't think so. Oh, no, it is.
There it goes.
Oh, there you go.
I want to know which of you is your favorite recent game, non-Ubisoft, and if you felt like the publishers reached you, or did they hit the mark, or did you stumble upon it or find out about it in a different way?
I can definitely speak to that.
And I'm going to sit down so I can take notes.
Okay. I would say my game of last year, 2006, was Okami, which is a great example of a game that seemed like it did not get marketed well enough at all, because I was looking forward to that game, I mean, for 3 years or something. I saw the trailer long, long, long time ago and thought, I mean, I didn't know what it was, first of all. I was like, is this an anime? Is this some sort of movie? What is this? And then I found it was a game, which got me that much more excited. And then it kind of fell off the radar and I didn't hear about it. And I know that, you know, the development cycle went on, which happens, and marketing has to account for it. But then when it came out, it was just like, I mean, I was paying specific attention, but I had to dig for it. And I have friends who also knew that it was going to come out eventually, and I was talking about it, and they're like, oh, is that out yet? Which, you know, that's not a good sign when they haven't seen trailers, they haven't seen anything. So Okami, that's a great example of how they did not access my particular, you know, my group of friends. It was me. I had to go looking for them, which is, you know, not ideal by any means. I mean, you will have those hardcore people who remember and it sticks in their brains, but it's really unfortunate that there wasn't more marketing behind that game, because I thought that game was the best game of the year.
Amber, what's your game?
I actually, because you were asking about what have I played recently and how it affected and did they market it right. My game I play right now is Gears of War, and I have to say I have not played a game since Halo 1 that has had me or created the sense of excitement or the passion I feel when I'm playing it, and it does it even more than Halo 1. Like the intense... I'm getting shivers as I'm sitting here because...
Hype. That's a good example of hype and a game that did access its market.
Well, I was going to say that in a second, but first of all, with my gameplay experience...
Never underestimate the power of curb stomping.
Can I answer the question?
Sorry, go ahead.
Jeez Louise. Okay, so anyways, I have not played a game that has put that sense of excitement in me, and I think it's actually because of some of the problems with the game that create that. Like, the shotgun is so random that you never know if you're really going to kill them or not, even though you're shooting them in the face. So so that it's like, oh my God, am I going to die? Are they going to kill me? Are they going to die? You know, with that kind of thing. And I loved it, and yes. Exactly. They put more money into marketing that game than probably what they spent on developing some others. So a lot of people bought it, and it proved it. It outsold Halo, I think, didn't it? So they got it, and there's a lot of people playing that online.
I think it outsold Halo 1, but I don't know about Halo 2.
And the other one, and they did spend a lot of money marketing it, but I never would have thought I would have liked it, but I got so addicted to it. It was Viva Pinata. And...
oh my God, I never would have thought. I'm a shooter girl, you know. I mean, I just don't get into RPGs or MMOs or these games. My sister is. She plays every system, every game under the sun. I don't. I'm like a developer's worst nightmare or a system's worst nightmare. I will stick on a game for a year and a half, and that's it. And I don't buy any other games. I don't play anything. I just want to play my game, get my game on. And Viva Pinata, man. Now I have PMS Enchanted Forest, the PMS Zoo, PMS Farm, every custom garden with all the accessories, and it was addicting.
I mean, do you think they did everything right by that game?
They did market it. You still see it now, and
see,
it looks
I beg
cute,
to differ. I love
it,
all
well,
kinds
it looks
of
like
genres.
It's for kids, and it should have been pushed a little bit to the adult audience, because I think a lot of adult, and I know men that play it too,
okay, I'm an
really
adult.
Like it.
My turn. I'm an adult, and I'm going to beg to differ with her on that. I play all genres, and I love girly games. I love kiddie games. I love first-person shooters. I love survival horrors, my favorite genre. That's why I hate this question, by the way. Thanks for making me, you know. But I probably won't. I'll probably give you one from each genre. But that being said, Viva Pinata, I thought was really... It was a great visual game, very cute, but it was almost too tedious for me. I'm just trying to get my stupid achievement and then build my fantasy garden. You know, that's like my only purpose, so nothing else brought me into it.
Very, very quickly, can you
I
tell
love
us
it.
How
Thank
many...
Xbox Live for that with the achievements.
Very quickly, can you each tell us how many hours a week you probably play,
oh, God.
Play games?
Okay, my excuse, I have a full-time job that does not involve playing games. Unlike these two.
Okay, I probably
hours will be lower.
I probably spend an average about now I actually get to play some more than when I was managing. I used to manage a finance company for like 3 years. Cool. But I probably spend about 6 hours a night now is what I spend on Gears of War, about 4 to 5 times a week.
And I'm literally waking till dawn in my pajamas, skipping showers every other day or so, not doing anything unless I'm traveling.
I'll literally call her on the phone, and it's like, hey, I need your help with this and this and this and this, please. And she's like, well, wait till I get back into town. Where are you? I'm talking about in town in my game. Oh.
Hey, Morgan, how many?
Wow, you got to get your safe zone, you know?
When I'm on a good streak, it's probably 2 to 3 hours a night, unless I'm training for competition, in which case I'm playing from when I get home to when I pass out, and then all weekend.
I do want to answer his question because he said he was writing, so we'll just because we need other people a question, and I needed to answer his. And my favorite, I'll just keep it short, was Zelda Twilight Princess. And yes, it hit everything you can possibly
imagine.
As far
as marketing, did it reach you?
It's Zelda. That's all you got to say.
And
that's
it's
enough
Wii.
Marketing.
Nintendo fan people are
that's
easy
what
to
building
reach,
a brand's about. And yes, it lives up to everything.
Yes, your question, please.
Yeah, so I remember when I first started playing Rainbow Six. And I became so excited because I could spend like an hour killing people and then change my camo, put a beret on, you know, glasses, and go back in and kill some more people. And I could actually play as a woman, which mm-hmm. was actually amazing.
That's
and I remember the kind of ranting hysterics that happened with the women I was playing with, along with the men, when we thought that Gra 2 was going to come out with only men again. You know, and then how we got angry, and then it came out, oh, it's Gra 2, great, it has women, but I can't change the camo. So one of the things I just wanted to you guys to chat about is you've got marketing, you've got outreach in terms of reaching out to the people. So what's happening in terms of getting into the
inside.
Game developers and saying, you know, Splinter Cell's going to have a skin and all that kind of stuff. So.
Wow. But before she jumps in this with the, you know, politically correct answer or whatever.
I don't have a politically correct answer for that.
Well, you'll...
Anyway, go ahead.
I'm just going to say this. The developers, except one, won't even talk to me anymore. They call me a fanatic, and they said that I offer nothing valuable to them. Because actually, Rainbow was the game I played for over 1,000 hours that I competed in 3 clan matches a night
before the frag dolls.
That's my series. I didn't say it because he said non-Ubisoft.
That's why she
but
is a frag doll
that's
today.
That's one of the reasons why I am
one of the best in Rainbow Six.
We hired girls who are fanatics about our games. That obviously makes sense, right?
So they won't even talk to me anymore, but I usually get to her and can you tell them, please don't mess up my gun and
when,
put this back.
When Ghost Recon came out without girl skins, we had a fit. Like we had a little fit, and we let the developers know that we were very disappointed, and they made lots of like, well, we know, and we were trying to put it in, but it got cut like last minute. It was one of those features, and they were really apologetic because we were about to kill them, and so we take credit for the fact that there are female skins in Gra 2.
They always say, you know, that's a really good idea, and then you never see it.
But I have done...
That's a really good idea.
Amber and I both, and I'm sure Morgan even, I mean, we have a lot of friends that are developers, and we have a lot of networking, and know a lot of game studios and companies, and we actually do go in, and we got to test out 2 games that aren't out that are from dev companies here, you know, so yesterday, you know, that's a big perk from us, and they definitely want our input.
Yeah.
I can guarantee you that's why we're there.
I won't ever let it, you know, dictate if I play the game or not, because if it's a good game, I want a game just like the guys do, but I love the ability to have pink armor, you know, or something of that nature. Just do something.
Customization,
you know?
is clutch. That's part of the engagement. Yeah. That's a good key point. We didn't talk about it too much, but being able to customize your own thing and make an experience your own is a huge thing online now, and is very, I think, key in a lot of the marketing.
Not even just the games, right? It's in everything that you do, really, within your company.
Any other questions?
Anything else? No, you guys got some more. You wanted to pick your brain?
I've got a question. So there's a little tension here between I'm speaking my mind versus the company needs to have control. How do you reconcile that?
Me?
Well, you and Morgan.
Well, see, Amy's eyes are already lighting with fire.
No. I love Ubisoft. Really created something good. They could have went a bad way with it, and I wouldn't be a frag doll right now. I mean, I would have walked away. Luckily, we have, you know, some great bosses, and it's run by females, and we have that female touch that really care about us. I don't feel like I'm working for a big corporate company because I don't deal with a big corporate company.
I do.
I let her do that. She can deal with that stress. But it does. The only problems it causes for me are just, you know, with my personality, how outspoken I am, how true to myself I am. I will never be a sellout, and I get myself in trouble a lot by not keeping. So I really have to be careful on how. Which I'm an intelligent woman. I might write it out passionately, and then I'll go back and read through it and revise it so that it's not as an emotional. But at least they let me get my point across. I just might have to have them read it and approve it and take some, you know, feedback from it.
I take her passion as a major boon to the team. Like, it's something, it's very real, and it really speaks. I mean, it's totally authentic and totally credible, and that's exactly what she thinks, and she will always tells you exactly what she thinks, and I mean, I like people like that, so I think that that's a really good thing. We really have only one, I would say, one real rule, and that's that we don't talk trash about other companies or other groups, or if there is a product that we don't like, we don't go like, man, we don't like this. We won't talk about it.
Don't do as PMS either.
We don't do it as PMS, except for we're not bound by corporate ties, to where if there is something in the industry that we don't like, we can actually go out and voice it maybe a little bit louder or a little bit faster than they might be able to, because they do. They always say what they believe no matter what, but they do need to go through certain corporate.
Well, we
steps
are spokespeople, so we do have to represent.
You always got to go through a PR company.
Our peer manager's in the audience.
Yeah, he's right there, probably going, stop now.
But it's really just, you know, if we don't talk trash, and that's pretty much the rule, and that's really the only rule. I mean, we also have to make sure that we're E for everyone. We don't get R rated or M rated on any of our stuff. But that's,
we get a little PG-13. Yeah. Sometimes.
So Morgan, are you saying there really is no tension then between what the need for control from corporate?
I would say there's not. I don't know if that's because because I am the one who has to deal with the executives and the representatives in the company who if they're controlling, it always comes back to the credibility. It's like, well, if we want to have this team, we have to be credible. So it comes down to that. But I don't actually have to have that discussion very often.
I think it's important too. Amy doesn't just say something to say something. It's always very viable, and it's very grassroots and very pure. So anyone that's criticizing her is probably going to get picked on a lot, because it's very pure, and it's basically just standing up for the rights of all gamers, not PMS, not frag dolls, but every gamer out there from the bottom line, and that's how her views are. And that's why she's the yin to both of ours, yang. So
I think I'm really lucky and glad that I'm part of both groups, because I almost get to bring us together. Who knows, you know, what road would have path would have been taken if we didn't have something to, you know, bring us together. Because in all intents and purposes, we're competitors. We are competitors for each other's groups.
We have
opposite really
sponsors.
That's what causes me the most.
Which puts us in a hard place, because we're also really good friends.
And you compete in competitions as well.
Yeah, but most of us, they took all of our good Rainbow Six girls.
I'm the Rainbow Girl.
Yeah. There are.
So we don't have to worry about it. They don't play Halo, so.
Next question.
Next question.
Every product and every service, every company goes through an evolution. And so where do you see both the Frag, Dolls, and PMS evolving to? And then a second totally different question. Have you and will you be approaching markets within Europe and Asia, where, of course, girls as gamers are probably substantially behind the North
America. They're very behind over there.
I'll answer this in reverse order and really quick. So we have a UK Fragdoll team, and we also have a French Fragdoll team. So
we
do have
IPMS.
Them, and they're not quite, I mean, as representative of that target demographic, they're not quite as instilled in the, you know, there's not as much media around them. They're playing PC games. Like in France, it's all about the PC games. And UK, they're split. So we do have some of that. But our Fragdoll team, we were started by the US marketing department, so we focus on US. And then the other question was about evolution. Honestly, it's kind of funny for me to say this, but I mean, I never expected us to be where we are now, so it's kind of hard for me to predict where we're going to go, except to say that there will be more female gamers in general. You know, we are going to have a larger and larger percentage of the entire gamer pool are going to be females, so at least what Amy keeps referring to as the boob factor will probably be of, you know, be lesser potency. So we will be... become perhaps more representative of gamer culture in general instead of just an anomaly. But hopefully we at least my personal thing is I'd like to have an impact on how games are marketed to, I mean, in general, because there's so many, I always...
You already have and you already do, darling. So
there you go.
You.
So, I mean, maybe more directly involved in, like, maybe we should actually advertise games in, like, a women's magazine.
Yep. And I'd
say that, you know, maybe like this might be really cute in a women's magazine. You know, you might think that that's like, I can totally see Nintendo doing. I mean, Nintendo actually is very good about that, and I think more forward thinking about embracing their female players. But that's the type of thing that, like, I never see that in my femme magazines.
An answer to your question on the PMS side, we have IPMS, which is our international division. It has about 60 girls worldwide, and we are starting early for the growth of the international areas. We're waiting really for consoles because women started consoles about the same time as guys, so our competitive level is much more similar than in these PC games like Counter-Strike and Quake that are 10 years old, and the guys have been playing, you know, at a competitive level for 10 years, and girls have gotten into the last 3 or 4. And then also for the direction of our group, we already anticipate more women coming in, and it is going to happen, and that is exactly what we want. We already are very fortunate to have been the first, you know, the ones that come out that were competing, you know, actually placed in a top pro event for the first time. But so we've got our spot, so we're actually going to be moving into supporting women in other areas that are male-dominated, like extreme sports and bicycling and skateboarding and every other area out there where women are a minority, where we think our branding can go in and help and sponsor some females in those and see if we can help the women in those areas as well.
And
we already do that.
We do that, and that would be very cool. I know we've got, like, no time left, so maybe we can just do... super quick.
No, please.
We already do that.
We'll talk after the conference.
We've got a couple more minutes. If you need to leave, thank you very much for coming, but we've got a couple of more minutes.
Okay,
we're going to answer questions.
We've heard a lot of references to violent and competitive type games, Rainbow Six, Ghost Recon. Do you guys have equal representation and marketing effort or community effort around what are traditionally thought as more girl-friendly games like Sims or Second Life?
Girl-friendly. I play them. I have land in
Second Life. And wait, we used to have a HUD.
I'm not sure that I understand the question.
I do.
I guess the basis of it is, are you more focused on supporting girls who are playing what are generally thought of as more male-dominated genres, or are you just supporting girls in games?
There's a reason why you hear a lot of those games, and that's because right now we're focusing on the competitive tournaments, and of course those are only
first-person shooters, fighters, those types of things. That's where we get the most, what we're most known for, because that's where most media comes. Is
and
the
where we need more
circuit.
Women.
So it's inherent that those get the most attention. We have a casuals division for PMS, and of course, Fragdoll, I play everything. I play Sims, I play World of Warcraft, I play Viva, I play
Viva We've written
Viva
blogs
Pinata.
About World of Warcraft and Animal Crossing and yeah. Cooking Mama, and like, so we do definitely support those games, but there's no competitive venue for it, which means there's that it's less stage for us to be able to support those things, but we definitely do support women playing any sort of game.
Yeah, and
we
really focus on the online communities, and that's the only reason why we really created a casual division in our own group, because they need support in an online community where they could be harassed potentially and things like
and
that.
And like I said, our new site's going to have a full arcade on it, and we're going to try to integrate and run give prizes away and have tournaments on the arcade there.
Thanks.
Yes.
Catherine?
So I have a very similar question, because I was in the gaming panel a couple days ago, and you know, all the women, they were asked, well, do you like to be first-person shooter? And every one of the women said, yeah, I love being a first-person shooter. I just never tasted it before, but we like to kill too. And so you know, it's like cross-cultural stuff or global stuff. It's like, yeah, you like to do that, but how natural is it?
It is natural. You need the right environment.
Well, I'm just wondering, are there things that you've discovered as a clan that you as women do better, you know, that decide...
Communicate?
That don't just...
Talk?
Yeah, that don't just match your counterparts, be they mixed teams or male teams, but actually exceed your counterparts that help you win.
We do, actually.
Communication is the number one thing that we do better than the guys. We can vocally talk to each other at a much better ease and get a much deeper... Only thing is that we do get a little bit emotional sometimes.
There are ups and downs to that.
But I think a lot of... And I think something you touched on that made me want to bring up something was that, you know, casually coming into a first-person shooter for a woman is a little difficult. The guys are talking a lot of... I can guarantee you it's always a positive experience. And that's kind of why we created PMS in the first place. We got together because the guys were... you know, being kind of mean, I'll say. And so we wanted to create a safe, positive environment. And I can't tell you how many women have come in as casual gamers and turn hardcore. Like, they just joined us.
Gun.
They're like, oh, I'm just kind of playing this. My boyfriend plays it. But they join the clan, and all of a sudden, they are competitive, crazy women.
I was going to say that that being competitive is that common thread, and that I know some women. In fact, probably some of the most competitive people I know are women.
But it's
and
the right environment on learning too. I think that's really important. They need that support feature.
They're not going to last. Women are just different, and if they're not going to last if they're not in an environment where they feel comfortable in. Whereas men can go into a game and be in a comfort zone because they've been playing it since knee high. They were brought up with little toy guns and cars and everything else, and they go on the games. They're in their comfort zone, so.
So you say you probably learn faster than the male teams because it's okay to make mistakes and, you know, get back up and get back in there.
If there's that nurturing environment, yeah.
Yes.
And so we do try to foster that for the girls that we play with.
Okay, thank you.
Okay. You're welcome.
Exactly, thank you.
Thank you very much. We've run out of time.